From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
And God says to Jonah, go east, and he goes west. We find a prophet running from the presence of God. You ever done that? How many of you have done that? Four. Yeah, no. Don't look holy at me. I know you. You've done that too. God asks us to do one thing, and we do another thing. He says, stop this, we do it anyway. There's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to take us through the life of Jonah, a guy who asked God why instead of why not. When God told him to go to Nineveh, he asked God why instead of saying why not. Sound like anyone you know? Maybe the person you see in the mirror each morning. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A Little Bit of Jonah.
Well, there's this one man that we're going to talk about. I love the book of Jonah. And Jonah was someone that asked why instead of why not. And it got complicated. When God asks you to do something, don't ask why, ask why not. Why not go to church? Why not get baptized? Why not follow me? Why not? If you ask why, you're going to be vulnerable and susceptible to all kinds of spiritual bacteria. Jonah. Jonah is an unusually true fish story. Generation after generation of children have listened wide-eyed to the story of Jonah in amazement. But it's so unusual. Because it's normal for a man to go to the ocean to catch a fish. This story, a fish went to the ocean to catch a man. So it messes us up a little bit. But there's no better story than the story of Jonah. However, for all of its telling and retelling, we barely understand what it means. We think that it's all about Jonah. It isn't. I mean, if we think it is about Jonah, we will miss the most important lesson of all. We do that all the time. I recall a story told by Bruce Larson. He's a late author and pastor. And when his kids were young, in kindergarten and in first grade, two daughters, they went on a vacation. They were bicycling, pedaling through this forest pathway in California when they came upon a sign that said, Naturalist Camp, this way. Did you get that? Naturalist camp. So he figured, must be the scenic route to see the beauty of nature up close. So he said, hey, girls, and his wife, he said, let's go this way. So everything was fine until six completely naked people came riding their way on bicycles. And he thought, my daughters are seeing this. Just then, his little kindergartner daughter said, Daddy, did you see that? None of them was wearing a helmet. Sometimes you're so fixed on one thing, you miss the obvious. And we can do that with the book of Jonah. Let me clarify something for you. Jonah is not the hero of the story. God is. And Jonah, the book of Jonah, is not just about Jonah. It's about you and me. Because there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. And we're going to find that out in just a moment. Well, who's the hero? Well, if you just look at the times things are mentioned in Jonah, you'll see. For example, the fish, it doesn't say it's a whale, but we think it's a whale because there's no fish as capacious as a whale to be able to swallow a man. So the fish is mentioned four times in the book of Jonah. The capital of Assyria that he is supposed to go to preach repentance is called Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. And he's supposed to go there. That city is mentioned nine times. Jonah himself is mentioned 18 times, but God is mentioned 38 times. You see, God is the hero of this story. And when you think about Jonah, I think he actually rates as the world's worst missionary ever since. Because you open up the short book of Jonah, four chapters. You open it up, it starts with Jonah running from God. You finish it with Jonah arguing with God. Close book. That's like, what is this? And I look at this story and I think, God, what really is this all about? Because Jonah starts with running from you. He ends with arguing with you. And that's it. But God, you kept pursuing him to get his attention. Yep. You see, God loved Jonah so much, he, even though the prophet started running the other way, he had a whale of an idea brewing. Let's read. It's on PowerPoint here. Read with me the very opening verses of the book of Jonah. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, Tarshish is by Spain. He's getting on a boat at the Mediterranean shore where Israel is, where Joppa is. And God is saying, go that way 3 days walk inland to the capital of the Assyrians. And God says to Jonah, go east, and he goes west. We find a prophet running from the presence of God. You ever done that? You ever done that? I mean, God asks you to do one thing and you do another. How many of you have done that? Four. Yeah. No, don't look holy at me. I know you. You've done that too. God asks us to do one thing and we do another thing. He says, stop this. We do it anyway. There's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. You say, well, why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? I'll tell you why. Because when God said Nineveh was wicked, he wasn't kidding. Now, some of you may after this be going to lunch or brunch. I'm about to spoil your meal. Because the Assyrians were the most wicked and brutal of people, and they hated Jewish people. When they would capture their enemies, here it is, sorry, but they would skin their leaders alive. And then they would mutilate them, dismember, and then decapitate them. Pile their heads up in front of Nineveh to let the Jews know, you mess with us, this is going to be your fate. Hence, the Jewish people hated Assyrians. Assyrians hated Jews. They didn't get along. They did not play well. That's what it said on their report cards. In fact, in 721 to 722 BC, the Assyrians would gobble up the Israelites. Right after David's reign, his son Solomon took over. After Solomon, the kingdom split into two. There was a split. 10 tribes went with this man named Jeroboam, and it was called the Northern Tribes of Israel, 10 of them. Two stayed with Israel. That's called the Southern Tribe of Judah. They stayed with the lineage of David. But 10 defected to start their own nation. In 722, 721 BC, the Assyrians gobbled them up, mutilated a bunch of them, destroyed, killed a bunch. Even till this day, they're called the 10 lost tribes of Israel. It was a Holocaust. Now, some of the women were taken as slaves or concubines, and then because of that relationship there, there would be offspring. But the offspring would have Assyrian blood in them. So they were despised by the Jews because they were half-breeds. And when Jesus comes onto the scene, if you recall, there were some people that were ostracized and hated by the Jews. You know what they were called? They were called the Samaritans. The Samaritans were part of the Assyrian captivity that mixed in with Assyrian blood in that capital, probably of Nineveh. And when they tried to go back to their uncles and aunties in Jerusalem, they ostracized. Get out of here. No. So they all went into a little place called Samaria. And if you recall in the book of John, in the beginning, in John 4, Jesus stops there at a well and speaks to a Samaritan woman. Remember that? That's why his disciples said, what are you doing talking to this woman? It wasn't just a woman. It was a Samaritan woman. They despised them. So when God said to Jonah, you go and preach repentance to the Assyrians, he said, no way. I ain't going to do that. No. Do that because I want to have mercy on them. That's the problem. They should not have mercy on them. You don't have mercy on them. Why, Jonah? Because they don't belong in heaven. We don't want them in heaven. What? No, we don't want them in heaven. They belong under heaven. Down under heaven. Down doobie doobie down under heaven. You know, I think there's a little Jonah in all of us. Some time ago, I was talking to a man at New Hope, and he came up to me after service, and he said, I can't believe it. The worst thing in the world happened. I said, what? He said, I was standing there, and when you told us to greet one another, I turned around, and my ex-wife was standing behind me. I said, well, praise the Lord. She's coming to church. You don't know her. You don't know her. I left her a long time ago, and she was in back of me like she was mocking me. I said, no, she wasn't. So I said, what did you say? Well, he said, I turned around and said, what are you doing here? She said, I got saved. I said, no, you didn't. She said, I'm going to heaven. No, you ain't. I like this church. I'm going to make this church my home church. No, you're not. I was here first, not you. And I started laughing. I thought, there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. I said, you know, I bet it's the humor of God that your ex-wife will make it to heaven, and when she gets there, I bet God's going to build her mansion right next to yours. There's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. I mean, think of some of the people we think, we don't really want, I mean, we want people saved, but not that one. I don't want that person coming here. We're like that. You know who's coming to New Hope? I'm going to another service. Yeah, well, there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. See, this book is partly about us and what God does to retrieve us for his purposes. We have people here at New Hope. We pray, oh, God, bring people to salvation. Bring them to the church. And about a year later, we come to church. God, there's no parking anywhere here. What's the matter? What's going on here? Everybody's coming to this church. Good night. Dear God, there's so many wayward youth out there. Save them, God. Bring the youth to church. Then we come to church. How come the music is so loud? Good night. Get rid of those drums. There's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. And God said to Jonah, I want you to go and preach to the Ninevites. He said, oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. So you know what God had to do? God didn't change his plans. God didn't change his purposes. God had to change Jonah's thinking. Well, how are you going to do that? I'll tell you how he changes our thinking. Ready? He sends a storm. Oh, not just a little storm. Not just a squall. Not just a tropical storm. He sends a supernatural storm. One that even the other non-Christians on that boat go, this is from God. Did you know that God is so concerned about you and me that he'll actually use forces of nature to bring you to himself? He'll use two kinds of storms. There's a perfecting storm and a correcting storm, if you can remember that. A perfecting storm, where God uses a storm to perfect your faith. You're already believing, but it's incomplete, and he has to perfect it. So he'll bring a storm into your life. Just like in the book of Luke, when he said to Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, and I prayed for you that your faith not fail. In other words, Simon, there's going to be a perfecting storm that's going to come into your life. It's for the perfecting of your faith, and I'll be there for you. Peter, when he got out of the boat to walk on the water, do you remember? And he started walking on the water, and all of a sudden he saw the waves and the wind, and he began to sink. And he reached out and said, "Help me, Lord." And God reached out, grabbed a hold of his hands and said, "Why did you what? Doubt." In other words, Peter, when you fix your eyes on me, the problems recede. When you start looking at the problems, they increase. It's not about your problems. It's what you are focusing on. And if you're starting to focus on what other people think of you, they get big and you get small. If you think about how popular you are with man instead of how popular you are with heaven, then man gets big and heaven gets small. And you make wrong decisions, perfecting storms. But in Jonah's case, there was a correcting storm. When God said, go one way, he went the other. Boom, a supernatural storm. And God is about to turn him around. God will do that with you and me. A storm of adverse circumstances in your life and mine. Maybe a financial collapse. Or there's trouble in your family, or your church, or in our country. And you think, this is not just some normal storm. Or you get desperately sick. God's going to use a storm. And the problem is, it doesn't only affect you, it affects people around you. Isn't that right? When I'm running from God, it affects everybody. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. It's just me, man. No, it affects everybody. You see, when Jonah sinned, it endangered everybody on the boat. Ponder these four words. Are you ready? You never sin alone. Let me say that again. You never sin alone. Oh, you can be alone when you sin, but you never sin alone. It will injure a spouse, a brother, a sister. It's going to affect your family, your future. It'll affect people who are friends in the church. If I go out and do something dumb, it affects so many pastors, so many churches. You don't ever sin alone. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, you ain't hurting nobody. No, you will. When people commit suicide, they say, I'm a burden, so I don't want to hurt anybody. You hurt everybody. You never sin alone. And that's what happened with Jonah. He endangered the lives of the whole crew. The ship is groaning and creaking from winds and heavy waves. And his compromise, his deceit, started to injure everybody else. You even injure those that are secretly watching you to model off of you. You don't even know who they are. Some time ago, I was late for an appointment. And so I was a little heavy on the gas pedal going on the H1, only like 2 miles over the speed limit or something. And so all of a sudden I come around. I didn't even see the police car. I pass him and he pulls out and turns on his Christmas lights like, Merry Christmas. Only problem wasn't red and green. It was blue. And so I think, oh, I'm already late. So I pull over in kind of a rush like a vroom. And then he pulls over right in front of me, and he gets out. You ever notice that when you're in a rush and they're giving you a ticket, they walk really low. Then he gets to my window. You know, do you know how fast you were going? I said, yeah, about 2 miles over the speed limit. He says, no, you were 22 miles over the speed limit. I said, 22. He said, I got you on my radar. And then I had the audacity to say, you should recalibrate your radar, probably. He said, oh, no, it's calibrated correctly. Could I have your driver's license, please? So I give him my driver's license, thinking, hurry up, I gotta go. And he puts it in his little clipboard, and he starts writing real slow. And Then he gets down to this one, and I'm tapping my finger on the steering wheel like this, and he gets down to one place, and he says, what's your occupation? Excuse me? Pastor? He said, what was that? And then the Lord just convicts me for my bad attitude. And I said, I'm a pastor. And he takes off his sunglasses like this. You're Pastor Wayne Cordero. My wife listens to you on the radio every morning. Hey, can I get a picture with you? She won't believe this. I said, you don't want a picture with me. I'm a bad person. You never sin alone. Even cops are watching you. People are watching you that you've never met yet. And everyone on that ship was endangered. Their lives were endangered. So in a desperate attempt to save the ship, they're tossing cargo off the deck. And you'd think that Jonah would be helping the sailors. But no, where is he? I'll tell you where he is. He's taking a nap below. How could a man sleep during these kinds of storms? I'll tell you how a man could sleep during those kinds of storms. The devil gave him sleeping pills. You say, oh, no, come on. No. No, you see, the devil would love for you to slumber and put you to sleep while your world crashes around you. The devil has a knack of putting you into a slumber state while he steals your future. And though the facade of your building, of your life still stands, he's eroding the foundations of your soul and you're fast asleep. I mean, what else could explain a man who's having multiple affairs, let's say, on his wife, while the devil is stealing his future, he's asleep. To his children being devastated, his future being stolen, his spouse and the years of investment all being quietly ripped away. What else would explain a politician that violates the ethics of the law, yet would lie with impunity in public, and then calls himself a Christian? What else would explain some Christian that holds bitterness against someone, I mean seething bitterness, when God says, stop, and we run from God, and we do it again and again, and it goes on for, no, not a week, no, not a month, years. What else would explain except the fact that there is a pill bottle in hell with sleeping pills in it, and it's got your name on it? Because the enemy is crafty at getting you to slumber while he steals your future, because you never sin alone. But the cool thing is even though Jonah is in slumber, while the devil is attempting to steal his whole ministry and future, God does not give up on Jonah. I mean, God put his hand on Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and put his hand on him. And even though Jonah's running, God won't let him go. Are you glad for that? God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, why? Instead of why not? And it got him into all kinds of trouble. And there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. God asks us, go to church. Instead of saying, why not? We say, why? Serve, why? Be a part of what I'm doing, why? And we're vulnerable and the enemy smells it.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled A Little Bit of Jonah by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow we'll turn a corner and see how God is a God of second chances. You're going to want to have a radio nearby. Now, you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Spreaker, SPREAKER.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go.
Again, that's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365.
Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dill Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.